is truly beautiful. Tonight we're going to do something a little different. I was going to get down and preach, but I want to share something with everyone about how Jesus changed my life. He can potentially change yours. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the garden of our hearts. For those who may not have been here, there's a theme in the Bible about, and what we've been sharing is that our heart is like a garden, and there's things Jesus wants to plant there. Unfortunately, there's an enemy that wants to plant other things there. You can take a plant, you can buy a plant and put it in a pot, buy some soil, come back to that plant 3 weeks later, and things that you have not planted will grow out. That's the nature of being in the world, right? So I want to share something. Put this mic on here. Because we all come here in different states of mind. One thing I've learned in 20 years of ministry is that things aren't always as they seem. And I've come to church before as a minister, as a deacon, looking like everything is together and everything is fine. And inside, broken up and torn up and hurting and hateful and unforgiving and unmerciless. And nobody knew but me because I pretended. Not because I wanted to pretend. I couldn't care less if other people, but pretending just to hold myself together. And I want to show you. I brought this from my backyard. This is an apple tree. This is a branch that I took off of an apple tree. You can see there's apples here growing, babies. Not at full growth. But if you think about this as the garden of our hearts, where God says, I want to grow something in your heart. All of these things that Pastor Josh has been preaching, you know, I want to grow something in your heart. I want to grow forgiveness. I want to grow grace. I want to grow mercy. I want to grow healing. I want to grow all of these things. And you imagine your heart like this. But unfortunately, what the world does is choke out these things that God wants to grow. Not by anything that we do, but because the world. And the reason why I share this is we've been talking, and Marcellus was preaching last week about anger. These things come, these situations happen in our life, and it chokes the life out of the things that God wants to plant into our hearts. Tonight, I'm supposed to be talking about unforgiveness. I'm supposed to be talking about loving those who hurt you, loving your enemies, which to me, some of you may be better people than me, better Christians than me, but in my life, I have had hate. I have had unforgiveness. I have had bitterness. When people have hurt me, when I've done nothing to them. And Jesus says to love that person? It sounds ridiculous to me. It sounds impossible to me to love that person that hurt me. But I learned in my life, I said, you know what? There was a time in my life where I knew Jesus and I loved Jesus and I wanted to live for him and I did live for him and I wanted to serve him. But I wasn't fully connected to the power that Jesus had. And one day I was praying and I said, you know what, God? I serve you and I love you, but I want to be more like you. I have an unforgiving heart because that person that hurt me, I cannot forgive them. Because in Michael Johnson's power, I do not have the power to love my enemies. And I would hear people say things like, I'm in love with Jesus. We talked about this in the meeting before. People, I would be around Christians and they would say, I'm in love with them. I'm so in love with them. And you know what? I was a little bit jealous of that. Even as a Christian, I was a little bit jealous because I love Jesus, but I couldn't say that I was in love with him. To me, this sounded like a cliche to me. You're in love with him? Sure, he saved me. He forgave me for my sins. But I'm in love with him? It was foreign to me. Until I learned the true nature of Jesus. And I'm going to share that with you. But I want to show you what we do when the enemy chokes us out, when we have weeds in the garden of our heart. You know what we try to do? We try to pluck them out leaf by leaf. Oh, I looked at a video today that I shouldn't have looked at. And we try to rip that out of our heart leaf by leaf. Oh, I cursed someone out today. I have anger in my heart today. And we leaf by, but look what happens when we rip out leaf by leaf. It's impossible. Do you know how long you're going to be ripping out leaf by leaf, individual sin by individual sin? This is why it's so frustrating, because we try to do it on our own. I don't want to, I'll stop looking at this video. That's one leaf. Guess what? There's another video. Oh, I'm not going to curse this person out today. Well, guess what? If you do it in your own strength, there's going to be another situation that you're doing it little by little by little. But Jesus has the power to rip it out from the root. From the root. I want to share something with you about Jesus that helped me fall in love with Jesus. Jesus, we spend all the time, you know, we know about Jesus from the time that he spent on earth, which is the most important time in Jesus' life to us, with the time that he spent on earth. But if you ever thought about Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word came and dwelt in the flesh. That's Jesus. It says that everything that was created by him. Jesus was so completely different and other than us. He is nothing like us. He is other. He is completely 100,000% different. He's so different. Do you know that the disciples encountered him? He was glowing. He was glowing so bright that the disciples were afraid. Do you know the Bible says that in Revelations, it says that there will be no sun, that his glory will light the world. This is Jesus. He is so incredibly powerful. There will be no sun. His glory will light the world. Jesus said, behold, I will be with you even until the end of the age. When Jesus was hanging on the cross for us and he was dying, and they were mocking him, and they said, if you're so powerful, why don't you get off of the cross? And he said, don't you know that if I just willed it, I would call down millions of angels and they would destroy you? I could say it in a word, but I don't. I'm on the cross because I love you. Jesus, nobody killed Jesus. He laid his life down for us. I want to show you what happens. It's the anointing. When we allow Jesus to rip it up from the root, then we can grow. Now I'm going to show you. Unfortunately, what happens to us is we rip these things off sometimes, but a lot of times we don't feel like this. That thing has choked us and ripped everything off of us. And a lot of times we feel like this. You say, yeah, well, God, you forgave me. You forgave me and the sin is removed, but I feel like this. Everything that was growing on me is now gone. My uncle took my purity away when I was 7 years old. How can I get my purity back? There's someone out there. Someone out there was 7 years old when your stepdad or your uncle took your purity from you. You didn't ask for him to do that. And you say, God, well, how can I get my purity back? He took it away. It's ripped. Some little boy says, when my dad left my family, all my hope of being everything I wanted to be is gone. He left. I thought I could be everything. I wanted to be him. And he left and I have nothing to aspire for. How can I get my hope back when my parents left? You feel like this? This is what church is. We come, you know, and we say, well, you know, we're coming and, you know, we're worshiping Jesus and we're getting some good old Bible scriptures. There is that. But there's a lot of people out there, because I was one of them, that would sit out there and be like, I'm kind of screwed up. And you feel like this. I want to share something with you. In the Old Testament, there was a box. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. Without getting too deep into it, it represented a few things. It was the presence of God. It represented the presence of God. A representation, not the actual presence. It was a representation. It was a box. Inside of that box was three things. Manna was in there, which represented God's provision. The tablets were in there that had the commandments on there, where God wrote with his own finger. That was the word. That was the law that he gave us. There was something else in there that a lot of people don't know about. It was a branch like this. It was called Aaron's rod. More specifically, it was called Aaron's rod that budded. Why is that important? It was a rod like this that was disconnected from the plant. And when Aaron held it up, it budded on its own. It regrew again. This represents resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus said, you think that resurrection means that great day at the end when everyone comes back? He says, no, that's not, I'm not the day of resurrection. I am the resurrection. Which means it's not about resurrecting the bodies out of the grave. He's saying, I can resurrect something even if it died. And when Aaron held that rod up and it budded, it might have been stripped and naked like this, where you say, my purity is gone because my uncle took it. My hope is gone because my dad left. Everything is stripped away. Yeah, I'm forgiven. But how can I grow again? And that's why Aaron held that rod up and it budded, disconnected from the plant, to show us that he can regrow everything back. Through the power of the resurrection, through the power of Jesus. This is why I fell in love with Jesus. Because the world took things from me. I was a good Bible-believing Christian in church until a pastor ripped everything out of me. And I came to church and I read and I prayed and I believed God, but I couldn't get that hope back. It was taken. It was stolen. Has anyone ever felt like you wanted to know what it's like to fall in love with Jesus again? That was me. And I prayed, I said, God, I want to fall in love with you again. I want to fall in love with you again. And that's when Jesus showed me who he really is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. Jesus is true, 100% unadulterated, unequaled power. But not power to gain wealth. Not power as we know it. Power to heal. Power to resurrect. In one word, one name, Jesus Christ can take someone out of a wheelchair to walk again. One word. I used to do ministry, we called it tent revivals. And I sat and I saw a man whose one leg was longer than the other. And I sat and watched his leg grow longer than the other. With my own two eyes, I sat and watched his leg. Nobody had any magic. The preacher said, in the name of Jesus, grow. For me, he healed my heart. Jesus healed my heart. He can heal your heart. And when I say, and I'll share this, and then we're going to go into worshiping him, and we're going to connect to him again. We're going to connect to him again. You know this, one of the miracles of this world, I was sharing this with Pastor Josh, this apple branch that I ripped from my backyard, do you know that I can take this branch, I can cut the apple plant, I can stick this in and graft it, and this will come back to life and grow apples again. It's called engrafting. The book of John, is it 15 and 1? It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When we become disconnected, we can connect again. We can grow again. I'm living proof. My heart was black when it came to unforgiveness. I lived and I died by revenge is served cold. I know how to dig a trench and destroy somebody because of pure, unadulterated revenge and unforgiveness. And I prayed, and God told me that you're focusing on the wrong thing. Do you know there's victims on both sides of pain? Never forget, there's victims on both sides of pain. What do I mean by that? Someone hurt you. Someone left you. Someone molested you. Someone destroyed you. You're on that side of the pain. They hurt you. Guess what? Someone left them and hurt them. But we extend mercy because that's God's job to heal them. It's not our job to hope that they're destroyed. It doesn't do anything. We need our heart to be healed. A friend of mine, I had a talk with him about his father just 2 weeks ago. He said, I don't know if I can forgive my father. He said, he said, you know what? I forgive him. I do forgive him. So let me ask you a question. When someone speaks good words about your father, how do you feel? He said, well, I don't know if I can handle that. He said, well, what's forgiveness then? You said you forgive him. He says, very powerful point, but I have one question for you. He asked me a question. I don't have all the answers. He said, my father doesn't deserve to have a son. I would completely forgive him, but he doesn't deserve to have a son. That's why I won't forgive him. He said, deserve? Do we want to talk about what we deserve? We deserve death, all of us, because we're born in sin. But Jesus didn't give us what we deserve. He said, I lay my life down for you, and I extend to you grace. When we look to others and we don't forgive others, what we do is we lift ourselves up in pride. Because I say, I'm better than him. He doesn't deserve grace. But I do. Do I deserve to have 3 beautiful boys and a beautiful wife and a job and health? When 1 million people died of COVID? Do I deserve to be here? I'm here by grace. I accept mercy and grace into my life, and I also accept mercy and grace into the life of those who hurt me. And that's the beginning of healing, but it starts with understanding who Jesus is. I'm just a poor ghetto kid from the streets of Los Angeles. I'm no better than you guys. I'm just a poor, hurting kid who was given nothing. And Jesus came and healed me. I came to a church and somebody was preaching like this, and I sat in the back and I thought, what geeks? That's what I thought. I said, what geeks? Until a guy stood up and he told his salvation story, and I said, I'm the geek. Because what that thing that he got, I want. I'm in the back acting hard, trying to be cool. I'm the geek. God lifted and ripped all of that off of me. And I was still a broken twig when he forgave my sins. And through his power, he resurrected everything back. Well, God punish the person that hurt you? I don't know. That's his child. That's his job to forgive them. It's not my job to hurt them. It's his job to heal them, just like he wants to heal you. I want to ask you, with eyes closed, and we're not completely done. We're going to go into some true Jesus healing. You came with something today. You know what it is. It might be something different for you. It might be something different for you. It's definitely something different for me. I come with my worries. I come with my anxiety. I sit up and think like, oh God, what is, am I going to make it? Am I going to provide for my family today? Is this going to happen? And I'm constantly obsessed with my anxieties, my worries. That's what I bring tonight to the altar tonight. I'm beyond hiding. I'm 41 years old. I don't hide. That's what I bring tonight. You bring something. You bring the anxiety of your parents' marriage. Are they going to break up and leave you? Some of you, your mom and dad said, you know what? You turn 15, you're out of here. Some of you kids have seen worse things than some of us adults have seen. But I'll tell you what, you haven't seen anything worse than what Jesus has ever seen. I have seen Jesus radically save me and change my heart. And that's why I fell in love with him. This is what I want to do. If you, with your eyes closed, your head bowed, if you want to fall in love with Jesus again, I want you to raise your hand. Also, if you came with something tonight that you want God to resurrect, to grow on that vine that may have died, raise your hand. I'm going to tell you, there is power in the name of Jesus to do it. If you would only believe. For the next minute or two, I want you to bring that. Bring that up to the altar. Bring it up here. If you want to come up to the altar and pray, come up to the altar and pray. Bring it. Lay it down. With something, come to the altar. We're going to pray with you. starts with vulnerability.
Christ, oh, come to Thank you. listen, I want to do something like totally off the wall tonight. I want to open up the floor tonight, man, is that if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, listen, you know, Mike talked about walking in just the supernatural forgiveness that is totally outside of like your own reach and your own scope. Listen, you guys, like, you need the power of the Holy Spirit, okay, to do supernatural things like that. And tonight, I just want to open up the floor for you to encounter. Listen, if you guys are like, yo, man, I don't even know if God's real tonight or whatever, like, come experience the Holy Spirit, and I promise you, you'll walk out of this room knowing that God's real. Okay, so listen, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you do not speak in other tongues tonight, I want to invite you to come down to the altar to receive it. And if you're like, yo, I have no clue what you're talking about, then, man, I'm talking to you. Okay, so I love you guys. So I'm just going to open up the altar as these guys worship some more. Leaders, if we could just be ready to pray for that. Cool. If you want it, come down.
Baptize me in the Holy Spirit.